First, I want to give thanks and praise to my Father, Jehovah, for giving me this opportunity to speak before His children. It's a blessing. Before I thank anybody else, it's all about Jesus. Secondly, I want to thank Army for this invitation. Brother David, a man that I love. And I'm not lying. If I lie, the Holy Spirit can strike me dead like Ananias and Sapphira, so you know I'm not lying. I love you, man. And he actually asked me in 2009, you remember that, to go to that first Army and do some talks. I told him no. You know, I couldn't reject the second time. So I'm here. I want to say, I don't know if you realize what has been transpiring this week so far. The way the messages have been connecting. You don't think it's coincidental, do you? This is so powerful. Listen to me very carefully. Brother Lemon was preaching today. And he was talking about, you remember, Lucifer and the light. Not Lucifer, but Adam and Eve and covering with light. Well, I'm like, man, this brother's taking all my sermon Sunday. he was in the Word, right? And he was going to, he asked the question, what was Adam and Eve covered with? And I'm like, oh, no, he's going to, I hope he doesn't go to Psalm 104. I knew the answer, but I don't want to yell it out. That brother, I showed my wife, he's going to go right here. He went there, and he messed me up, bro. I wanted to give that text. But to God be the glory, I'm telling you. And what he said in the sermon about idols and preaching it through the love of Christ, it's exactly what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. I said, man, God, what's going on here? Wow. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you something, quite seriously. We laugh. Nothing wrong with laughing. I laugh all the time. Nothing wrong with laughing, right? Nothing wrong. But when a preacher comes behind this desk, solemn, during a day of atonement, the priest had one sin. He was dead. The people in Israel on that day of atonement, that one day, solemn. You don't hear any laughing. They were searching their hearts. Lord, is there any sin in me that needs to be severed? Cut it off. So we can laugh. But one of the most dangerous things about church is many folk, they come to church Sabbath after Sabbath. Sabbath, they hear a sermon, go home, not change. Come back next week, go home, not change. A perpetual cycle of unconversion, not tonight. Somebody's going to be changed by the power of God's Spirit. I'm telling you, somebody's going to be born again. Somebody's going to be born again. That's why I smile. Idols. Can anybody find that text in the Bible for me? Seek ye second the kingdom of God. Can anybody find that text? No. Can't find that text anywhere. But unfortunately, we live as though it's there. That's the problem. We live as though it's there. And I'm going to preach with the love of Christ. Sometimes you just got to be straight. Amen. Very simple. Only two sheets of paper. That's all. Very simple. Right, Argel? Only two sheets of paper. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long for the Holy Spirit to snatch your heart and produce change. It don't take long. Amen. Who's serious? How many of you are serious about Jesus? Raise your hand. You're serious about Jesus. Okay. Awesome. Me too. We're going to start this Bible study tonight. I got PowerPoint. I want to keep it so simple. I want an elementary student to get the sermon. So simple. We're going to start off with a man who is dead serious about salvation, like every single one of us. Serious. But he had one problem. He had an idol. And let me tell you something about idols before I pray. We come here, and you know, I was so burdened, I was breaking down in tears in the corner. I was crying so hard when they were singing Jesus Come Again. You know why? We come to these GYCs and all these C's. How many C's do we have to go to before we convert it? We go to all these GYCs, and nothing wrong with it. It's a blessing, amen? It's a blessing. Go! I smile. I don't want to be harsh. The problem is, we go and we're on fire, revival. Yes, yes, I'm going to leave and I'm so on fire for Army. I'm going to leave. I'm going to memorize the entire Bible in 10 days. I'm so in love with Jesus. Love it. On fire for Christ. A month later, yeah, the Bible's all right. The Bible's all right. It's okay. 2 months later, what devotion? I got to go to work. Let me say a 5-second prayer and get out of here. Get on fire for Christ. And then a few months later, see it all the time. At the bottom, right there. You know why? You know why? Because we can leave this mountaintop experience and go home on a high, revived. But if your idol is still home, if your idol is still home, guess what's going to happen? Yes, yes, bottom, rock bottom. So let's not fool ourselves. Let's not fool ourselves. You know, a lot of times we say amen to so many things. You know, if you say amen to something and you believe it's true, amen means truly. You believe it's true and you go contrary to your amen, that amen was an idle word and it'll be brought up in judgment. We need to be very, very careful what we say in the presence of a holy God. I'm so burdened tonight. I'm so burdened because we think we're going to get in heaven with one idol. And it doesn't work that way. That's why there's no text. Seek ye second. Now what I'm going to do, I have to move this. I don't want to trip. I get very animated because I love Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus, you guys. So if you see me all over the place, don't worry about that. You focus on content. You focus on the content. Very simple. Idolatry, idols will kill your revival. It's the theme. Idols will kill your revival. We're going to pray. I've been preaching for a while now and I've realized paper and ink saves absolutely no one. No one saved from paper and ink. You're saved by the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish I could save you. I can't. So therefore, you're going to have to pray. At my church, I tell the congregation, you pray for yourself, pray for me. You have to pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly. Because I can't do it. So I'm going to give you a few seconds to pray. And then we're just going to get into the simple Bible study. And we're done. Pray and really, really ask God, man, change my life. You cannot come here and not be delivered from something. You have to leave delivered of some worldly vice. Somebody's chain is going to be broken tonight. You're praying. Father, speak through your word. By way of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Idols will destroy your revival. Ellen White says, what's the first word, everybody? Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect what? And the searching of the what? That's what army promotes. Will be overcome by his what? Therefore, he invents every possible to engross the what? The mind. Satan understands. If I can get their minds, they can go to the mountaintop experience. I don't mind because the idol is still home in the valley. And I put the word here, the idol in there. An idol. I put that there in her quote. Because idolatry, I'm keep on repeating myself. I want to sink in deep. Idols will destroy your revival. And she says, Satan knows the power in the word and the power on your knees. And he knows. If you're not studying the word, it is impossible. She says, you will be. That's a definitive. You will be overcome by Satan. I'm going to fight for Jesus. I'm going to fight for Jesus. 2 months later, watch fire. The idol, you need to sever the idol. Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Now follow me tonight. Follow me tonight. Do not lose me tonight. Because you all declare, man, I'm serious. I'm serious about Jesus. Man, I'm so serious. This brother was also serious. He was at army in Jerusalem. Very serious guy. Oh, yeah. The thing about him, he got a Bible study from Jesus directly. You got to hear from speakers. This brother was dead serious. Mark chapter 10 right there. Now go to verse 17. Listen to the text. Verse 17 says, "And when he," of course, this is the rich young ruler, "and when he was gone forth in the way," Jesus, "there came one running," and what? Now, here's the picture. I like putting myself in the Bible. The man is running, and then he not only runs, he kneels before Jesus. That means that brother was dead serious about Christ. All of us, we're all serious. Okay. The Bible says he ran and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit," what, everybody? He asked the most important question anyone can ever ask. He doesn't ask, well, why do bad things happen to good people? His question was, "I want to go to heaven. What do I have to do?" He's dead serious about Jesus. Okay, continue. Verse 18. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, listen, "Master, all of these have I observed from my youth," from cradle roll, from adventurers. Man, I'm doing fine. He says, "I have done everything you said, Jesus. I am fine." Wow. Verse 21. Then Jesus, listen to this. It's about love tonight. Jesus' love. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." And Jesus, amen, it's awesome. He loves us. "And said unto him, One thing." You have one idol. "One thing thou lack." Now let's be honest. Let's be honest, Army. If God were to come to us, man, he'd have a long list for some of us. "You're lacking this. You're lacking this. Oh, don't forget about this over here. You're lacking this, this, this." Long list. The man had one problem. Doing good. Excellent. In human eyes, but in the eyes of God, he was lost. "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt," now listen to Jesus, "thou shalt have treasure" where? Jesus promises this man a place in heaven. You're going to have heaven. You'll be in heaven, you have treasure in heaven. Did Jesus ever lie? He's telling the truth. You're going to go to heaven based on this condition. He says, "You'll have treasure in heaven." This is the condition. "And come, take up the cross and do what, everybody?" Jesus says, "Hey, I'm guaranteeing you heaven, but you have to get rid of that one tiny number, not 1,000, not 1,000,000. You just have one idol. You get rid of the idol, come and follow me, and you're going to go to heaven." Keep your marker in Mark chapter 10, because we're going to close out with this brother. Keep your marker, because he's serious like all of us. We're all serious. Advent is serious. He's serious. Keep your marker there. Now we're going to look at the hatred and the love of God through idols. Are you happy tonight? Some of you look scared out there. I'm not going to bite you. This thing's serious, though. It's all right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. Let's look at the idols, and we're going to go back to this brother. Jesus promised him, "Man, I'm going to give you heaven. If you just follow me, get rid of that idol, I'll give you heaven." Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. We know the story. For time's sake, I can't go read everything. Moses is gone on the mountain for a long time. The people, the children of Israel, they come to Aaron. They say, "Hey, up, make us a god. Do something." For Moses, we don't know what happened to that guy. Make us a god. Aaron said, "Hey, take off your jewelry. Take off the earrings," so forth and so on. They gave him the jewelry. He took his mallet and he chiseled out a golden what? A golden calf. A golden calf. "This is the god that delivers from Egypt," so forth and so on. Moses, he comes down. He's coming down from the mountain, coming down with Joshua. Joshua hears all of the noise, and Joshua said, "Hey, there's a war going on." He was a soldier. Moses said, "No, I hear some singing." False worship. "I hear some singing going on." Moses gets down at the bottom of the hill. He sees what's going on. He takes the table of stone and boom, shatters everywhere. He's angry. And then Aaron, Moses comes in and says, "Hey, what happened?" Aaron says, "Man, you know the people. Why do we put our sin on somebody else? Now, you know the people. Come on. Don't get so angry with me, Moses. No, we're brothers. You know the people. They tempted me. You know, they gave me the gold. They gave me the gold. I threw it in the fire, and up came the calf." No, he said the calf popped out. Aaron is an idolater, and now he's a liar. No wonder God wanted to destroy him. But Moses prayed for him. Moses interceded for him, and God stayed his hand. Intercession and prayer is powerful, amen? And they built this idol. This idol here. You delivered us. Now, question. As we look at this depiction here, this image is an image of a golden what, everybody? What's another word for a calf? What's a calf? A baby cow. What's another name for an animal in the Bible? A beast. A beast. Now, was this a literal calf on the altar going moo, moo? Was it? No. Sounds silly. No. It was not a literal calf or a literal beast. It was an image. Let's connect the dots. God's remnant people, Israel. Are we God's remnant? Yes. Are we spiritual Israel? God's remnant people in Exodus chapter 32, they were literally worshiping an image of a beast. God's people. God's people. That idol had to be destroyed because God wanted to bring revival to Israel. Moses ground it in powder and tell him to drink it. What happens? Verse 26. Exodus 32, verse 26. They're worshiping this image of a beast. Exodus 32, verse 26, let's pick it up. The Bible says here, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, listen to what Moses says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of who, everybody? Gather themselves together unto him. Are you kidding me? Please tell me, how many tribes were in the tribes of Israel? 12. Only one out of 12 was not into idolatry. You just told me you're spiritual Israel. You just told me that. Could it be then, since history repeats itself, that God, that most of God's remnant people are also into idolatry? That was God's remnant, and most of them, just one out of 12. But at the end of this army, every single one of us is going to be part of Levi. I thought you said amen louder than that. Now, I want to be part of Levi. Amen. But look at the, we're talking about love, the love of Jesus and killing our idols. The love of Jesus. God is so loving. He is so loving. God actually did something for them. Listen to what God does. Ellen White says, without regard to position, kindred, or friendship, the ringleaders in wickedness were cut off. But all who, what everybody? And what? Themselves were spared. God is so faithful. Now, this is what Ellen White says. I'm paraphrasing. She says what happened was, who was on the Lord's side? The tribe of Levi was on the right side. And those who were into idolatry but confessed and repented, they were on the left side of Moses. And God is so faithful. God says, hey, if you into idolatry, just repent and you'll be spared. It's a love message. God loves us so much, He wants every single one of us to fall into His arms. Man, there's safety there. There's safety there. And God is saying, look, I don't want to beat you up. I know you have idols at home. I don't want you to beat you up. The only thing I want to do is love. I love you so much, I just want you to destroy the idol. I love you. But even though God says, you know what? Some were spared. Unfortunately, there were some hard-headed folk in the crowd. Mostly the mixed multitude and some of the children of Israel. There were some hard heads that said, you know what? I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to confess. I'll do whatever I want. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'll be okay. Really? Listen to what God does for those who stay stuck in Laodicea. Listen to what happens. Verse 27. And he said, lukewarm, I can do what I like. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about how many? Do you understand that could have been avoided? God, Moses looks at the children of Levi on the right. And he says, hey, those folk, they don't want to repent. They don't want to confess. What you need to do, take out your swords. Take out the sword. The tribe of Levi, they run. They started slicing and dicing folk. Arms and legs everywhere. Decapitations all through Israel. Bloodshed everywhere. It was a bloody, stinking mess because they didn't want to give up on their idolatry. Blood everywhere. Jesus says, all you have to do, man, get rid of the idol. I love you. I don't want you to be destroyed. I want you to be revived. But Israel, they had to crush it into powder before revival came. Now, this is bad. Worshiping an image, worshiping this image, that's bad. It's horrible. But Israel got worse. God's remnant. You want to see how bad they got? No one? Yeah. You with me tonight, right? Yeah. Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Israel got worse. Man, Levi went out there slicing and dicing folk, and they could have been all right. They could have been spared. What's wrong with God's remnant people? Same thing. History repeats itself. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 30. Are you there? Now listen to verse 30 very, very carefully. For the children of, I'll put Seventh-day Adventist there. For the children of Seventh-day Adventist and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel, Adventist, have only provoked me to happiness. God says, I'm angry. He's talking about Israel, his remnant. I'm angry with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. Now go to verse 35. Listen to how deep it got. Verse 35 says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Now listen, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto who? Which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Children of Israel and Judah, they were so wicked, so deep in apostasy that they said, you know what? Worshipping a golden calf, that's good, but let's go deeper. Let's kill our children. Let's kill them. Let's bring them to idol on Molech and let's kill our kids. A golden calf is not good enough. It will not do. Let's get deeper in apostasy. And once you're holding on to an idol, revival cannot come. Do you understand how deep this is? I'm not getting it. Let me show you what he did. Because you're not getting it. Some people like illustrations. You're not getting it. This is my child. And I love my daughter with all my heart. You know what the children of Israel did? Children. How many of you have children? Say amen. Don't you just, isn't it a love that you just can't explain? Yeah, I mean, you just can't explain that. Some people say, well, how is it being a father? I can't explain it. It's a love. I mean, I just love this child. But Israel, they were so deep in apostasy. Not all of them, but many of them. They were so deep in apostasy, they said, you know, get that golden calf out of here. That's nothing. That's weak. Let's step it up a notch in our idolatry. Take the kid. The father, who's supposed to be the priest of the home, takes the child. And in essence, that's what they'll be saying this in essence. You know what? You guys are messing my illustration up, man. I'm trying to be serious here. You know what I'm saying, Brother Bert? I'm trying to be serious. I hear it is, you guys. They take the child and they say this in essence. I brought you in this world. I love you. I'm going to kiss you for the last time. I love you. But the thing is, my love for Molech and my idolatry, my idols surpass my love for you. I don't love Jehovah. I love more Molech more than Jehovah. And because I love my idols more than I love you, I'm going to kill you for Molech. Because this is the God that I believe in. Even though Jehovah gave me you, I'm going to give you to Molech. Because I hate Jehovah. Now I'm going to sacrifice you. How can someone look in the eyes of their child for the last time? Place them on the altar of Molech as the child is naked. Places them down in the arms as the skin sizzles. Now, do you understand what was going on here? Do you understand what was going on here? Let me show you. The fire. The fire is burning here. They're playing the tambourines here. The father who's supposed to be the priest of the home is here. And he's about to sacrifice his naked child. And what happens here? Who is this? Who is this? What's this?
Drummers.
The rabbis. They'll call the drummers. Drummers, come forth. The drummers will come out. And as soon as that naked flesh hit the steel, they would pound the drums to beat out the cries of the child. Boom, 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 boom. Israel, God's remnant, was sick. We think, I'm not burning kids. I'll be fine. I can hold on to my little idol and still make it. Jesus is going to hook me up. It's a deception. Jesus, with him, it's all or nothing. So people kill their kids. But you know what? God in his infinite wisdom, he saw that the apostasy would get so deep. He saw that it would get so great. God, he wrote something through Moses that was so serious. Maybe so. I'm going to show you a text maybe you've never read before that is so deep. I'm going to show you the love of God as it pertains to idols. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Thing is so serious, dead serious. Oh yeah, revival, revival, revival. Better destroy the idol. You know why God gave me this message? I really feel why God gave me this message, because of the way we use the word revival so loosely. We use it so loosely. Oh, revival, reformation, revival, reformation. Are you killing the idol? That's the question. Man, you can call out for revival for a million years and be lost. I smile, because I don't want to be harsh. But we can cry out for revival. Come on. Come on, man. There's a phrase that says, actions speak louder than. The thing with Adventists, we talk too much. We talk so much, man. That present truth, yeah, I got my dress to my ankle bone. Man, come on, man. Jesus don't care about that. Jesus killed the idol. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's go there. Let me show you how deep this thing gets, idolatry. Let me show you what God allowed in Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Are you there? Do not miss these verses. If you have not been with me so far, do not miss this. The Bible says in verse 6, Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy what? Of thy bosom, the wife that you love, or your friend, which is at thine own soul, entice thee, what everybody? Oh, this is a secret now. Listen to the text. Secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods. Let's serve some other idols, you guys. Which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the other gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not, listen what God is saying, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him or her, neither shall thy eye what? Ooh, listen to the text. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou consider. Don't hide them. But thou shalt surely kill them. This is God now. This is God speaking. Listen to God. Kill them. Thine hand shall be first upon him or her to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. They join into the killing. Listen to what God says now. Listen to this. Verse 10, and thou shalt stone him with stones that he what? What God gives the reason why now. Listen to the reason why God gives it. Because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of. Do you see what God just allowed in the text? God says if someone secretly comes to you saying, hey, let's serve an idol. God says you don't spare them, you kill them. Let's get practical. I like practical. Let's get practical. Because we think we can go to heaven holding on to wine idols. Doesn't happen that way. We have many modern idols. The word idol is in the title, y'all. The word idol is there, and some of us watch it. See, that's the thing. We can say, amen, mercy. What you doing when you go home? We talk so much. Amen, amen. That could be an idol word if you watch it next week. And it'll be brought up in the judgment. I smile. Serious. American Idol. We have idols. Let me tell you my idol is. I was telling the young people when I was preaching to them yesterday. My idol, movies. My mother, she took me to watch a demonic movie. The first movie that I ever watched was a demonic movie called Home Alone. Demonic. Now some of you laugh because you don't understand how demonic it is. I didn't see the family having family worship once. Not one time. Oh, we could watch it. It's a lot of laughing. It's a lot of laughing. God isn't laughing. Satan is, though. Ha, ha, ha. I got him. Ha, ha. Laughs at us. And I was watching that demonic movie. After I left that movie theater, you know what? Man, movies isn't that bad. Adventist preachers, they preach against it. It's not nothing happened to me. I'm fine. Let me go ahead and rent some movies. Let me steal some movies. Let me just steal them. I was addicted to movies, and television for me was my idol. And that's why I thank God for a godly wife, because she knows I can't have a TV in my home. I haven't had a TV since 2008, and guess what? I don't miss it. Amen. Some people say, oh, well, you got to know the news. That's not true. If something big enough happens, you will know. You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. Trust me. I need to watch the news. Now, I'm not condemning television. Don't leave out here and say, oh, he preached against it. No. TV is one of the most powerful tools for witnessing. Powerful. But for me, I'm talking about me. Since I know my idol and I want to stay on fire for Christ, I had to destroy it. When you go home, you have to destroy some idols. Those DVDs, you got to destroy them. You just said amen. If you don't destroy them, idol word coming up in the judgments. I ain't trying to be funny. The real stuff, man. Real. Let's get practical. Because I want to show you exactly what Deuteronomy 13 is saying. Since this is my idol, let me show you what Deuteronomy 13 is saying. Come on. This is a family affair, amen? Love my wife. Now this is what he is saying here. This is what Moses is actually saying God is allowing. If someone comes to you secretly and says, let's serve another god or another idol. Let's say, for example, my wife comes to me and she says, you know what? Man, Alvin, I know you're struggling with television, but I'm just not there yet. I mean, can we just go watch a television show, something, you know, satanic, but we can watch Seinfeld even though it's satanic, right? What about Friends? That's of a satanic. I'll say to her, what? You're enticing me to, so you know I'm struggling and you want me to go secretly to watch some filth? You want me to do that? Moses says, you take that person, you lay hands on him. Like Moses says. No matter that God said it, you lay hands on the individual. The Bible says you don't conceal them. You don't try to hide them away. The Bible goes so deep, so don't even pity them. Your brother, your best friend, or your wife. Don't even pity them. So therefore, I have to have my hand around her and I can't pity her. I cannot say to her, you know what? Marriage was awesome. It was awesome. Man, we have a child. Man, I love my child. And you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do this. God says, no pity. You kill him. God says, you lay hands first. Then the rest of Israel, they come and they lay hands on her. And then God gets so deep, Israel, you all pick up stones to kill her. You know why? You know why God allowed that? Two reasons. Number one, he hates idolatry. He hates it. The second reason God allowed that is because God is so in love with us. How is that love, Pastor Alvin? How is that love, killing your spouse? It's love because God does not want even family members coming between you and him. He wants everything, and he will love you so much. In the time of Moses, he says, hey, if that spouse is getting in the way between me and you, kill him. if we were under the divine theocracy at the time of Moses, if we still live under those rules, there'll be many dead folk in our homes. Let's be honest. Not fool ourselves. There'll be a lot of dead folk in our homes. They worshiped the idols. Golden calf, that's not good enough. Man, let's go ahead and kill our children. God saw it coming. He said, anybody entices you secretly, you kill them. Don't spare them. No pity. Kill them. Someone's saying tonight, well, Pastor Alvin, that message isn't too practical. I want something really practical. Well, show me something practical that I can relate to in 2011. Show me something practical in the Bible. Are you ready? Yes. Only one person, but I'll work with you. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. I don't understand this stuff. This stuff is exciting to me. You guys laugh a lot. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Are you there? Now I want you to listen. We're going to get real practical right now. That has nothing to do with me. I'm not serving idols. I'm not bowing down to Baal. Okay. And we do know whatever is before God is a what? Idol. We know that. Whatever is before God is an idol. Let's get real practical now. Judges 6. What happens in the context? We can't read everything. God, he calls this great man, this great leader, to deliver Israel from the Midianites and the Amalekites. His name was? Gideon. The spirit. This guy was awesome. Awesome, right? Gideon was so powerful. Powerful guy. God wanted to use Gideon to bring revival and reformation for the people of Israel. Everybody focus. All right. He called Gideon. Now, listen to what God told Gideon to do, because revival must come. Can revival come if there's an idol? No. So wonder what God called Gideon to do. Go to verse 25. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw. Listen to this. Throw down the altar of what, everybody? That thy father hath, and cut down the grove, cut down the Asherah poles, that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord, trying to bring revival back to Israel. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and place the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So he says, the idol that you cut down, use that wood. Listen. Then Gideon took 10 men. Of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared. Listen to this. He feared his father's what? He was scared of his family. Why? And the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by what? Gideon, he took 10 men. His father's house, they're in apostasy, so what he has to do, he has to sneak around. It's 11 of them. They go in at night, looking around. Guys, we got to do this. God commissioned me. Man, I want a revival for Israel. They're looking around. Something they're hiding. And they got to do something that God commands. Cut it down. Destroy the altar. Do everything. I want a revival to come to Israel. When Gideon, with all power of God, chopped down the Asherah pole, destroy the altar, do you think the children of Israel were rejoicing? Yes. Revival is coming, yes. Do you think they were rejoicing? No. Listen to how they responded to Gideon. Listen to the text. Go to verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who? Who has the nerve? The audacity. Who have done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may what? We want to kill him. Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Do you understand what's going on in the text? God calls a righteous man. What does that have to do with 2011? Here it comes. God calls a righteous man to bring revival and reformation to his remnant people, and to the best that they want to do, they cried out, kill him. I wonder if we have a leader that God has called to the remnant church, calling for revival and reformation, and some folk want to kill him. Who's that? There's some folk in our church. Man, he's old school. Man, he's quoting all that Ellen White. Man, get it. What you mean I can't clap in church? He's too conservative. He's trying to bring us back to the time of carriages and buggies. Adventists say. Let me tell you something. Just like Israel of old, Adventists, some of them want to kill him too. You know what really gets on my nerves? Can I be honest with you? Since when has revival and reformation been for conservatives? And this thing is biblical. And you know, let me tell you something else that gets on my nerves. That's mine. There's some folk, I'll never forget this. I was telling my church this a few weeks ago. This lady, I was brand new to my church in 2008. This lady, she was excited, a member of my church. She took me and she introduced me to one of her children. She said, hey, this is our new pastor. Man, he's on fire for Christ, blah, 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 blah. And he's conservative. The first thing I thought, felt disgusted. These silly, sickening terms. Conservative, yeah, I'm conservative. I'm with the conservative group. I'm with the liberal group. We got a drum and a tambourine. Man, let me tell you, God never wrote a text that said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be conservative or liberal. No, you got to be born again. Now, what's wrong with us in these silly terms? Are you born again? That's the question. There'll be a lot of conservatives lost. What's wrong with us, man? God is saying, I love you so much. I love you so much. I want to bring revival to my church. Amen. And I'm using this man to bring a revival to the Adventist church. Don't kill him. Amen. That's all God is saying. Now, come on. Last text and I'm done. Let's wrap this up. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's go back to that character. Go back to that character that was so on fire, serious like every single one of us. Let's go back to him. Mark chapter 10. You should be there. He comes to Christ. Lord, I'm serious. I'm running. I'm kneeling. I want the crumbs. I'm serious. I want to be saved. And if the passage just ended there, man, I would think this man went to heaven, that he's going to be saved. But the text says, sadly, verse 21, let's read that again. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loves us so much, he says, get rid of the idol. And said unto him, one, this is just one thing thou lackest. Just go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. I want you saved. Jesus was saying to this rich man, I want your idol. Bring it to me. I love you. Bring me your idol. I love you so much. I'm just going to hug you. I'm not going to destroy you. I want your idol. Bring that idol to me. That's what God was asking the rich man. I want your idol. Sadly, the Bible says, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great idols. You know what his problem was? This rich young ruler, you know what his problem was? You know why he left grieved? It's not primarily because of the possessions. That's just part of it. The main reason he left grieved, do not miss this, is because he turned. He turned his back on Christ. When you turn your back on Christ, you cannot smile. You cannot rejoice because you are turning your back on life eternal. When this man came to Jesus professing to be serious, God said to him, "Bring me the idol." This man says, "No, I love my idols more than I love you, Jesus." He literally saw Jesus. And Jesus is saying, "Give me your idol. Give me your idol. Give me your idol." And you know what happened to this man? You know what Jesus understood about this rich young ruler? Jesus understood that this man right here, this man needed a revival. He was completely dead. This man was dead. When he came to Christ, Christ promised him heaven, and Christ was promising him, "Look, if you get rid of that one, not a lot, you're doing good so far. Just get rid of that one idol, you're going to be saved." Jesus wanted to revive him. But when he left the presence of Jesus. Listen, Jesus. He left the presence of Jesus dead. How do you know that? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You turn your back on Christ, you're going to die. And all Jesus wanted to do with this rich young ruler was, "You've given me your idol. You've given me that you want to follow me, take up the cross. Man, I love you. I told you I won't condemn you." That's just what Jesus would have done. But he chose, "My idol, I love it more than following you, Jesus." For him, revival could not come because he held on to only one. Mercy is right. Because some of us, truth be told, we have more than one. The man had one problem, Army. One idol. And we say amen. We say amen. I'm just saying what we say. We say amen. We say praise the Lord. And we say, you know, like when you hear a good point in a sermon, And God doesn't care anything about that. You know that? God can care less about your ooms and your ahs and your amens. God wants action behind the words. Now, what's wrong with us? Why do you think you're here? You think this is some social gathering? You're here because you need to be changed. I need to be changed. None of this, and then this next month. This needs to happen. Boom. Boom. Jesus. Coming higher. Coming higher and higher and higher. Till you're finally caught up in the first resurrection. It's all about Jesus. And I'm going to close out with this quote from Ellen White, the prophet of the Lord. This quote is for the person that thinks, "Well, I can hold on to just one idol. I'll still experience a revival. If I just hold on to just one idol, I can still be revived." Quote, "There is need today of such a of true heart religion as was experienced by ancient Israel." What's the next word? Repentance is the first step that must be taken by all who would return to God. No one can do this work for another. We must individually humble our souls before God and put away our idols. When we have done all that we can do, the Lord will manifest to us His. You can't help but to smile. You can't help. God wants to give us salvation, folk. He wants us to be saved. But He gives us the steps. He says, "You know what? You got to turn around from the idol." God says, "You know what the first step is? You repent." Army, you serious? You serious? Just like you said, that rich young ruler, he was serious. God says, "You're serious tonight? You repent." That's the first step. Then God says, "When you repent to me, you come to me, you put away the idols, everything, not even one. You cut away all the idols, and then you can be revived." My Bible's closed. Army, this is so serious. The times in which we live, I mean, we know, we say it all the time. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. I mean, come on. Those folk who really believe that, they live a certain life. I'm not talking about legalism either. so in love with Jesus. They're so in love with Jesus, nothing on earth matters. They're so in love. They're so in love with Christ. Praise the Lord, man. They're so in love. And it's because of the love of Christ, He wants you to destroy the idol. I'm not here to beat anybody up. But I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I'm not lying. God can strike me dead right now. God cannot save us if He is second place in the heart. Can't do it. But I thank God, someone's going to get a victory tonight. Somebody's going to get a victory. I want to close out with a story. Story I tell everywhere. Because it shows the power of a young person, how they can break the idol through the power of God. And I love young people. I love young people. I'm going to tell you the story. Don't you love Jesus? I'm just up here standing like, man, I really love you. I really want more of Christ in my life, y'all. Man, come on. Let's just really, really, really beg for those crumbs. Let's really, really fall more and more in love with Jesus. It's all about Him. I smile so much because I know when I was born again. I was born again December 6, 1998, on a Sunday. I was wearing a white shirt, black shorts, leather brown sandals with my identical twin brother. Oh, yes. Born again. The thing that's so special about that, I'm a twin. We were born together and born again together. Awesome. You can't help but to fall in love. And both of us are preachers. Both of us. I have my date. I know when I was converted. You have your date? It's a question. Do you have your date? You have your date. And we know that God works day by day, continually wooing us. For me, it was instant. But of course, God was working on our heart. You understand? But I had a Paul experience. That time, December 6, 1998, I was forever, ever changed. Cross. And you know why the cross? I'm glad you brought that up. You know the cross? That's why Jesus died. You know why Jesus died? Jesus died because every single one of you were His idol. Not because He worships you. No, no. It's because He put you in front of Himself. He was willing to die the second death. He could not see beyond the portals of the tomb. But He decided, I'm going to put them first. Even if I don't go back, as long as army is saved, you are God's idol. You, all of us. The only thing God wants to do. I was call porting. One day. I'll never forget this experience for the rest of my life. I was a literature evangelist at Oakwood University for 3 years. Life-changing experience. Call porting. I'll never forget. I was on a campaign in the wintertime. It was wintertime around December. And we were canvassing in the Orlando area in Florida, of course. Canvassing. And it was nighttime. I was done with my street, and I called. I had my little walkie-talkie, picked it up. I said, mobile one, it's time for pickup. The van responded and said, we're on our way. I'll never forget, I was waiting there. Dark outside. Just kicking the sand, just kicking the dirt. Just waiting. I heard a voice across the street said, hey! I looked up. Across the street was a young girl. I thought she was interested in what I had, because I had my bag, a literature evangelist. So I crossed the street, to this young girl. Girl looked crazy. You ever seen someone with those spike chains around their necks? And the spikes around the wrist? She had all that. She looked like she was about 17 or 16. Her name was Maggie. I'll never forget her name the rest of my life. Maggie was her name. I walked across the street with my bag. I thought she was interested. I said, hey, how am I doing? My name is Alvin Mirage. I'm a student working my way through school. Gave her my canvas. You know what she said to me? She said, I'm not interested in that. She says, you look suspicious. Just what she told me. Exact words. Why you guys are laughing? I'm not even trying to be funny. But she says, you look suspicious. Because I was wearing a black jacket. She says, why are you crossing the neighbor's lawn in a black jacket this time of the night? Just what she told me. I said, I'm just spreading the love of Jesus Christ in the form of literature. And I got my bag and I pulled out a Steps to Christ. And I said, see, this is what I'm doing. And I gave it to Maggie. I gave it to her. She looked at it. I said to her, I said, what are you? Are you a Baptist, a Pentecostal? I went through the list. She says, I'm none of those. She said, I am a witch. I said, what? I said, you're a witch? Yeah. I said, so you worship Satan and the demons and all that? She said, no, I don't worship Satan or his demons. I worship my God and goddesses. That's just what she told me. I worship my God and goddesses because they tell me that I can do whatever I like because they love me. Just what she told me. Young people just want to be loved. I can do whatever I like because they love me. I said, really? Nice. I said, you don't believe in God or anything? Nope. I don't believe in God. I said to her, I said, who do you think created the stars and the trees and the moon? Just what she told me. Some big bang happened. Just what she told me. I said, no. I pull out my Bible, the sword of the spirit. I said, hey, Maggie, let's just check this out. I will show you right now in Genesis chapter 1 how God created the world. She said, nah. She just what she said to me. I don't believe in your God. I said, you don't want to read the Bible? She told me, Alvin, I read the Bible 7 times from Genesis to Revelation 7 times. Your God has not spoken to me once. That's just what she told me. I said, that's impossible. Read it all the way through 7 times. I said, that's impossible. I said, you cannot read the Bible 7 times and God not speak to you. I said, okay, Maggie, we're going to pray. That's just what I told her. I said, Maggie, we got to pray. I'm not praying to your God. She said, Alvin, you know what? I have an altar, an idol. I have an altar erected in my bedroom right now where I am going to pray to my God and goddesses. Just what she told me. I said, you have an altar? She said, yes. I said, Maggie, we got to pray. Let's pray. She kept on repeating the same phrase. Your God isn't real. Your God is fake. Your God isn't real. Your God isn't real. Just kept on repeating that same phrase over and over and over. And all of a sudden, I love Jesus. The Holy Ghost arrested my attention. And I looked at this girl, about 16 years of age. I looked at her in the eyes. And she was just rambling on and on because I was quiet for a while. And I looked at her after the Holy Ghost got me. I said, Maggie, you have been abused. She shut up immediately. She stopped talking. So Maggie, it gets deeper. You have been sexually abused. Alvin, I don't know why. I don't know why God would allow that to happen to me. I don't know why God would allow my father to do that to me. I don't know why. Broken. I said to Maggie, I said, there is no way I can know something so personal about your life, save the Holy Ghost reveal it. I told her, I said, God, you said God doesn't speak to you through the word. I told her, I said, God is speaking through me right now to get to you and you need to listen. Just what I told her. I said, Maggie, we got to pray. I don't know. I said to her the second time, Maggie, we have to pray. She said, okay. I said, this prayer is going to be different. When I get to the middle of my prayer, I want you to repeat every single word I say. Maggie, can you do that? I don't know. Just what she told me. She said, I don't know. I closed my eyes in faith. And me and this young girl held hands on a street corner. We started to pray. Praying. And I said, Lord, as I get to the middle of my prayer and Maggie repeats every word I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask that you will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, when I go home, I'm going to throw away my altar. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read your word.
I accept you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. At the end of that prayer, she repeated every single word I said. A witch on the street corner was converted. She wasn't converted at Army. She wasn't converted at GYC. She was converted on the street corner because the power that the Holy Ghost has. Amen. Street corner. Now we prayed. It was so powerful. After we prayed, we hugged each other three times. Hugged each other three times. Three times. I couldn't let her go. I hugged her, then she walked away. Hugged her. She kept coming back, hugging me three times. And all the way, because she had to go home, all the way down the street, till she could not see me any longer, she repeated, we exchanged. I love you, Maggie. I love you, Alvin. I love you, Maggie. I love you, Alvin. A witch in the beginning did not even want to speak to me. At the end of the Holy Ghost, snatching the heart, I love you. I love you. She destroyed the idol. She destroyed the idol. And what God is going to do for her if she holds on to Jesus? In exchange for the idol, he's going to give her a crown of life. Maggie, you remain faithful. That street corner, you prayed with my manservant Alvin. You held on to me. You destroyed that idol. And because of that, I'm going to give you an exchange. I'm going to take your idol. I took that idol. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you a crown of life. God is saying to Army, give me the idol. I want the revival to stick this weekend. You give me the idol, and I promise you, this will never happen, only this, till the second coming of Jesus. My very first appeal. My wife is emotional. She's emotional, and my baby's there. My first appeal is this. Pay attention. You are sitting here under the power of the Holy Ghost, and you are not sure. That's all. You're not sure. You're not sure you have experienced what Maggie has experienced. Yes, you can be baptized. Are you going to be born again? I remember when I got baptized, I went down a dry devil. I came up a wet devil. There was no change in my heart whatsoever. But when I was baptized by God's Spirit, when I was baptized by the Holy Ghost and He snatched my heart, total change. My first appeal, you are not sure you have been born again, raise your hand. Not sure. Raise them high. High. Keep them up. I want to see who has the hands. Keep them up. You're just not sure. I want to see how serious you are. Come forward. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your friends. Between you and Jesus. We're just going to pray. Between you and Jesus. Between you and Christ. You're not sure. If you are sure, you stay seated. I would not respond to this appeal if it was given, because I'm sure of my conversion. You're not sure. That's all. You're not sure. So if you're sure, this appeal is not for you. Very specific. Very specific. You're not sure. Praise God. God is recording every single tear in the book of life. God is in love with each and every one of you. And to come forward, that takes courage. It takes courage. God is going to honor that. Anyone else before I close? I don't appeal long. I remember when I was in the world. Hey, Alvin, you want to go to the movies? I was quick. Give my heart to Jesus. Give me your heart. Me? Jesus? When he would say that to me? Slow. So fast for the world. Oh, I'm coming there. I'm coming there, sister, because I know your struggle. And let me tell you, the people that don't like God, he loves you. He loves you. Let me finish this appeal. Listen to me very carefully. Sister's struggling. She's being honest. But I'm going to finish this appeal. Listen to me very carefully because the Holy Ghost is in the building. Maybe this appeal not for you. You said you don't like God? You struggling?
Not well, up until October 10th, I liked to, well, actually, I did kill him. Many times throughout my life. I ripped him from that throne and twice.
Can you stand right here? Can you stand with them, please? If you like.
Say that.
I'll say this then. I'll say it to you. For those who have killed him, come forward.
Amen.
This sister is serious.
Amen.
She's serious. She doesn't care who knows. She don't care if she's the same. She's serious about Jesus. God's going to honor that. I promise you. God is going to honor that. He's in love with you. He's in love with you.
Accept it,
sister. Don't fight it. Don't fight this thing. Accept it. And we're going to pray for you. I want, as a matter of fact, I want every single one of us to pray for her.
Amen.
What's your name?
Candy Love.
Candy. Wow. Candy Love. We're going to pray for Candy Love. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody's going to be changed this weekend. There's too much power in this building. Do you know how much power is in here? Do you know that you can leave here tonight completely changed? I have my date. What's today's date? January what? January 28th. I got my time too. January 28th at 9:25 p.m. Whatever you're wearing, you have your date tonight. I got mine. December 6, 1998, white shirt, black shorts, leather sandals. I got my outfit, my date. You can have your date tonight. Jesus is beautiful. Anybody else before I close? Anyone else? You're not sure? You're not sure you've been born again? You're not sure? See? See, God is still working on our heart. Andrew, God is recording it, brother, and He loves you, man. He loves you, bro. Hold on to Jesus, man. Hold on to Jesus. Anyone else? You're not sure? You're not sure? I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. Hey, God bless you. And I mean that. I mean that. God bless you too, brother. I mean that. Two gentlemen, brother, I really mean that. Some people, it takes time. But I'm telling you, God is working our hearts right now. This takes courage. I'm going to stop when no one else comes. This takes courage. I see you. I see you, man. See me looking at you. You're going to have victory, brother. Those cigarettes, done. God sees those tears and He is recording them. I love you, man. If we don't meet here on earth again, meet me at the sea of glass. We're going to reminisce about this. You changed, bro. You changed. God's recording those tears. Anybody else? Anyone else? Two more came? Praise God. Praise God. People are hearts. God is moving our hearts. God bless you, young lady, and you too, that joy, and God bless you. God's recording this. He loves you. Anyone else? I want to give you all a chance. Jesus, man. Jesus. Jesus. I mean, Jesus. Come on. God bless you. Mm-hmm. But God is still moving. I need everybody praying. I need everybody praying, please. Because somebody else might need to be broken. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, I'm not sure, but I'm sure about one thing. I want the crown of life. Lord, I'm sure about that. I'm not sure I'm born again, but tonight is my night. This is your night with God. Anyone else? Well, God bless you. I mean that. Anyone else? I want Jesus. Anyone else before I close? Anyone else? God bless you. I mean that, Carrie. And I thank you for that prayer you prayed for me earlier today. God responded. Now you're here. You prayed for me, but God knew. Anybody else? Somebody else just came. Over here? Oh, God bless you. And I mean that. God bless you too. I mean that. God is recording it. Ashley, God bless you. God bless you. God's going to use you, young lady. He's going to use you. You're going to leave this place changed. Anyone else? Did I miss anyone else? No one else comes. I close. But I'll just wait because I want to give you time. Jesus. I present the cross. I see a hand up in the back there. If you can't stand, that's okay. God bless you. See your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, I'm not sure. Lord, I'm not sure, but I want to leave this place in love with Jesus. I don't want to leave. I don't want this to be a regular experience, Lord. Just going through the motions. GYC, leave not changed. Army, leave not sure if I'm converted. God, I don't want to go through that anymore. I want to be sure, God. I want to be sure that the crown was for me. I want that. Anyone else before I pray? God bless you. God bless you. I mean that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See, God is still working. I can't close it yet. God bless you. Beautiful smile. I love you. Anyone else? Lord, I need help. Anyone else? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm converted. I'm not sure. Anyone else? God bless you. I mean that. God bless you, brother. Anybody else? I'm not sure. God bless you. God bless you, Nellie. I love you. Anybody else? I'm not sure. God bless you, young man. Takes courage, bro. God records it. God is still moving in the building because you're praying. That's why. God bless you, Gizmo. You know I love you, man. You know I love you, Gizmo. I love you, bro. God records those tears, man. Hold on. Don't ever give up on Jesus. Don't give up. Hold on, man. He loves you, brother. Who else? Someone just, God bless you. And I mean that. God bless you. He loves you. Anybody else? I'm not sure. God bless you. Let me shake your hand. You're right here in the front. God bless you, man. Anyone else? I'm not sure. God is still moving in the building. God is still moving. I'm not sure. It takes courage. It takes courage to stand. But look who you're standing for. Jesus. Jesus. God bless you. I mean that. You're standing for Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. I just saw you stand up, young lady. God bless you. God bless you. I mean that. He loves you. God bless you. Young lady in the green, He loves you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I want to be sure. Anyone else? Did I miss someone? Which one? God bless you. I mean that. I love you. One of my young people at my church. Love you. Anyone else? I'm not sure, God. God, I want Jesus. God bless you, young lady. I mean that. I'm not sure. I am not sure. Two people. Thank you, one. Anybody else? Do you see what God is doing here? Now we're going to go to heaven, folk. We're going to heaven. Who's coming? Man, I'm going, man. I'm going. Who else? I'm going to heaven with Jesus. Who else? God bless you. God bless you, Auntie Faye. One of my sponsors at my wedding. I love you. Sister Wasenia, one of my Bible students. Bible says, I love you. God is recording it. God bless you, young lady, and I mean that. You're not sure you've been born again. Stand or come forward. You're not sure. Anyone else? And God is really moving here, I'm telling you. Somebody's going to be really changed. Anyone else? You two young girls? God sees those tears and He loves you. He sees those tears and He loves you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I know this is long, but when it comes to Holy Ghost power, time means nothing. Correct. Who else? Who else? God, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. You know I love you. We have Bible studies at your house every Monday. God bless you. God bless you, young man, in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? God is still moving. I can't close. Anyone else? I am not sure. That's the appeal. I want to be sure. God bless you. God bless you. God records it. You hold on to Jesus. Anyone else? Not sure. God is still moving this thing. I'm telling you. Anyone else? Before I close? God bless you right there. Jesus loves you. God bless you. Don't want to miss anyone. God bless you all. Anyone else? Anyone else? God, I need Jesus. God, I need Jesus. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anyone else for our clothes? Anyone? Anyone else? I need Jesus. All right? If there's no one else, is there anyone else before I make my second appeal? Anyone else? Then I'm going to my second appeal. Okay. Here's the second appeal. If you have an idol in your life, now this is where the rubber meets the road. Because we can say amen all we like. Say amen, hallelujah. If that idol remains when you go home, the revival you had here, don't leave here wasting time and money. You spent money to come here, Army. You spent money to come here. And God is saying, bring it to me. Bring it. Army, bring me the idol. Bring it, bring it, bring it. I want it. And the only thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to love you. I'm going to hold you. You're mine. If you have an idol that you know of, very specific. If you have no idols, don't stand. Very, very specific appeal. If you have an idol that you know God is telling you to destroy, stand. Only if you have an idol. Wow. 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 You see me? I'm already standing. I would have popped right up. And I need help. Alvin Mirage needs help. That preacher, pastor, title foolishness. God don't care about no pastor. And God wants the heart, man. Now pray for me. I got to destroy some things in my home. Now I'm going to pray. Now this prayer is going to be different. God help us. God help us. Because it's not easy. To destroy an idol is not easy. It's not easy, I'm telling you. But God will give you the power through His Holy Spirit to crush the idol. Because we learned tonight, idol stays, revival leaves. But I thank God, after tonight, revival is going to stick. And if you do fall off, you get back up and hold hands with Jesus in this road called sanctification. You do not reach perfection in a single bound. Ellen White says, sanctification is a day-by-day process. A work of a lifetime. And this is what I can't fathom about God. He still chases His children. He's chasing every single one of you here tonight. And you have responded. You stopped running. Now He has you. And when we go home, only by God's grace. And don't do it, please. Don't do it because of works. Man, I feel, oh man, he preached that sermon. I feel so guilty. Do it because of L-O-V-E, love. Lord, I just love you, Lord. It's not about works. I'm not scared of hellfire. I love you so much. I'm laying my idol on the altar. Because of love. Not because of fear. It's love. Not works, lest any man should boast. The love of Jesus. The power of His Spirit will give us the power to break the idols. Now here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. In close. For those of you who have come up, Holy Ghost boldness. Professing before all these people, you're not ashamed. Lord, I'm not sure. I've been born again. For those of you who have come forward, you're going to pray. I'm going to give you time to pray. Here's the prayer. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to say. I'm not the Holy Ghost, so let me back up. But I really want you to get real with God. Get real with Him. I was born again through prayer. That's what happened to me. I prayed one day and God totally changed my life after prayer. That's how I was born again, my brother and I. It was through me praying. You're going to pray. Seek God with all of your heart and don't rely on your feelings. Well, I didn't feel any bubbly feeling inside. It must not be real. No. It means nothing. Don't rely on your feelings. Just trust God's word. You cry out to God and you believe that you are indeed born again. You are born again. Believe this. Believe it. His word is sure. And it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now we're going to pray. First appeal, you pray for God to become real. Make your born-again experience sure. Second appeal, those of us who have stood saying, Lord, I have an idol that must be destroyed. I have an idol that must be destroyed. Lead my mind, Lord. Give me the power and the grace to destroy it, not because of works, because you love me so much. You just want to give an exchange. I give you the idol. I hold on to Jesus. I get the crown of life. Now we're going to kneel. I don't know if you can all kneel. If you can, stay standing. Whatever is more comfortable for you. You can kneel or you can stand, but whatever is best for you is fine. I'm giving you time to pray, and then I'll pray. Seek God with all your heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, your children, some are crying. It's not tears of sorrow either. It's tears of unspeakable joy. Lord, when you snatched my heart, I don't remember crying that hard in my entire life. My brother and I, we were holding each other. It seemed like eternity. Just crying on each other's shoulders. Me and my brother, my twin brother. Born at the same time and born again at the same time. Why? Because Jesus is awesome. Lord, we love you. Father, I want to lift up those who have responded to the first appeal, crying out to you, Lord. Lord, I'm not sure. God, I'm not sure. God, please. I don't want to beg you, Father. I don't want to try to move or force your hand, but Lord, in the name of Jesus. Someone, Lord, has to be changed. God, we can't be going through these motions. Just coming to these revival meetings or what have you and then leave home. Stuck in idolatry. Oh, Father, we need to be born again daily as well. For those of us who have been converted and we know that we have been converted, as I know it. I pray for all of us that we'll be reconsecrated. We recommit ourselves to you on a daily basis. Oh, Lord, that's the only way we can make it. We have to be dead to self daily. Monday, we have to be dead. Tuesday, dead. Wednesday, dead. But if we remain alive on Thursday, we're defeated. We have to be dead daily, Lord. Please help us. This world has so many distractions. Devices, Ellen White says, to engross the mind. God, I pray for the second appeal. Lord, we have idols. The rich young ruler had just one. God, some of us, we have a long list. The rich young ruler had one. God, I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm just so passionate, Lord. You know my heart. I'm just so passionate because I want folk to be changed. I want them to experience what I experienced when I was changed by your power.
God, I don't want to yell. I don't want to shout. God, I just love you so much for changing my life. Thank you, Jesus, for changing me. Thank you, Father, for changing those who have come. Break the idol, Lord. Give us the power when we leave this mountaintop experience not to go home and waste time with television. Waste time with Facebook. Facebook is good, Lord. Powerful tool. Powerful. Facebook is not satanic. It's a powerful tool. But Lord, if we spend 2 hours on Facebook and 2 minutes in prayer, now let's be real. God, we're going to have to go home and make some serious changes. And Lord, it's not because we're scared of hell. I'm so scared of hell. It's because I want to stop doing this thing because I'm so in love. We're so in love with you, Jesus. We love you. That's why we give you the idol in exchange for a golden crown. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. God, I'm done. I'm done, Lord. Lord, I'm broken. I'm broken, man. I'm just telling you, Father. I'm just telling you. Lord, you know me, man. I need help. God, I need help. This is the easy job. Pastor Lemon told us, man, preaching, that's easy. Man, I stand up here, Father, and I speak before people. No one's yelling at me. No one's mad at me. It's easy. I just talk. God, give us the power to live it. Words, nothing. Actions speak louder than words. Lord, I pray for this young lady, Sister Love. We're all praying for her. Lord, she's struggling, Lord. She's struggling. She doesn't feel it. She's not sure about this God thing. But Lord, we're sure. And Father, I know that you have the power to break every chain from Sister Love. So Father, I'm asking that you penetrate her heart. Break the fallow ground. Fill her with the Holy Ghost of promise. And seal her. Imagine, that's your child, Lord. I don't know her. That's your child. And Lord, she's serious, Lord. Honor that. And I know that you will. Man, you're Jesus. You're Jesus. Father, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for you not leaving me alone behind this pulpit. Preaching the gospel should cause any minister to tremble. Cause us to tremble before we preach. God could have called angels, but he called sinners to preach a message of righteousness. God, it is unbelievable. Bless us all, I pray. Lord, I pray that the conviction will stick. It is so easy to leave here and we talk about anything else but discernment. So easy to leave. Yeah. Happy, happy. Lord, the conviction needs to stick. God, help us. We're so broken. We're so broken. I thank you for you hearing. And I just want to thank you for this army. God, you saw before we were born that we would be here. You know it. Somebody's born again tonight. And Lord, we say glory, hallelujah, praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to your children. And Lord, as we go back to our seats, let us really, and as we go home tonight, and the rest of this weekend, Lord, let us really, really think, what are we doing here? Are we here to socialize? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to be transformed. And those who have not responded to this appeal, may they respond to the appeal tomorrow. Because, Lord, you impress people through different messages. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, I ask that you will send your Holy Spirit on those who did not respond to this appeal. That tomorrow, as the appeal is made, that you will break them down. Break them, Lord. Break them. Give their hearts to unreserved. This is Jesus here. And we're giving our lives to Jesus. Lord, I can go on forever, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to stop praying. And I know it's the Holy Spirit, so I will do that, Lord. I know it's the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to stop, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for your hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Let every child in love with Jesus say, Amen. Amen. Amen.